Ladies and gentlemen, and people of all gender identities, you are listening to
Forget About It on Radio Regent.
We are your Ima.
My name is Dio.
And I'm Rebel.
Let's jam out for a bit. And welcome back everyone to Forget About It on Radio Regent. This is your host Simon speaking, and how is everyone today?
What's going on? I'm doing well. Rebel, what's up? How you feeling?
I'm amazing. Happy to be here.
You're amazing. Always. How was you guys' weekend?
It was pretty good.
Fantastic.
I watched Black Widow.
Oh yeah? How was that? I heard it wasn't very good.
I heard
it was trash.
Nope. No, 5 stars.
You liked it a lot?
I loved it.
You know, so much. One criticism I heard of it was, I heard that it seemed like the sequel to a movie that should have came out like 7 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it was a prequel. And it's hard to do a prequel when you know that, like, the character is dead.
Right.
So, but I still really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, movie theaters are interesting now. Like, I went to the movie theater twice, actually, over the last week. And it's fun because it's socially distanced.
Yeah.
So there's like no person sitting right behind you.
I actually love that policy. I love it so much.
I love socially distant movie theaters.
Me too.
Like I remember when I watched Black Panther for the first time, mm-hmm. I was sitting behind this big family.
Yeah.
And the dad was like a really big guy.
Oh, no.
So he just kind of leaned back all the way without even like, that's just the way his body laid back. So the entire time, my legs were just at a 45-degree angle for the whole movie. It was awful.
Yeah, no, I love it because, like, they block off the seats for you. And it's just
So nice. Yeah, it's fun. I watched the new Conjuring movie over the weekend. Not particularly good. it was an American horror movie where rather than focusing on creating a sense of tension or actual terror, it was kind of just loud jump scare, and then a scene with characters playing music in a car, or like really cliche dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
I will say though that the lighting and makeup team were fantastic. There were just randomly like really beautiful shots in that movie. I don't know why, but they just went crazy for no reason.
I guess that makes up for it for not being that good.
Yeah. Or at least that's the part that deserves praise.
Yeah.
How was you guys eat?
Mine was really good. I always try to make the most of it,
mm-hmm.
especially because, like, this was the first Eid after all the lockdowns and stuff.
Right.
Most people were, like, double vaccinated, so it was really fun. I was able to see a lot more people this time around.
Yeah. I didn't do a ton. I was mostly just, like, with my family, because most of my friends were also with their family.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I went to a family friend function for the first time in a long time. And it was weird because, like, I would see kids who last time I saw them, they were, like, 6 and didn't really speak English that well because they just didn't know the language yet.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know any language yet. And then now they're, like, my height. It's
yeah.
like, what the hell?
Yeah.
How did you grow up so fast in so few time?
Yeah, I know.
NBA Finals also happened.
The NBA Finals also happened. Robel, what do you think?
Horrible fluke win. Giannis is overrated.
You think it was a fluke win?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Giannis
had 50 in game 6.
That's not that impressive.
Come on.
Oh my god.
It's not that good.
You sound like James Harden.
He's just nothing special.
Come on. I mean, obviously he's not like a master level Jordan, LeBron, Kobe type guy. But like, he's still very good. Like that game 5 lob was probably an all time finals lob. No?
No.
But Drew Holiday played amazing defense.
Lucky steal.
Lucky steal. That's crazy.
Nothing special, you know? Just average.
Yes.
It was pretty special. It was actually pretty special. Did you see afterwards he got like 50 nuggets?
Oh, yeah.
He was like, not 50.
Yeah, he's like, let me get a 50 piece.
I loved him. He deserved that. Anyway,
yeah.
So the topic for this week's radio show is homelessness. Mm-hmm. And before we get into our interview, we wanted to do a little bit of a blurb and introduction. And I'll just jump right into it. So currently there are over 10,000 people in Toronto who are homeless on any given night. And also, to talk about Regent Park specifically, there's over like 44% of people that live in Regent Park who experience poverty. And honestly, there are many reasons why people become homeless, and there's so many, like loss of employment, family issues, family violence, mental illness, poor physical health, substance use, physical, sexual, or emotional abuse, and those are just a few. So with Toronto rents being among the highest in Canada, it's obviously not easy to afford living in the city, and that's why a lot of citizens become homeless or experience homelessness. Rental costs have increased dramatically over the past 10 years, and a lack of affordable housing has increased to record high numbers. Other standard monthly expenses, such as phone plans, groceries, transit, aren't cheap either. And let's not forget school. For a lot of the students, school is so expensive. And these are factors in why it's difficult to live in this city, and many other cities around the world as well. And it's important that we understand most people don't choose to be homeless, and the experience is unpleasant, unsafe, and stressful. And housing is a human right, and no one should have to be put into that position. And for a lot of youth, they become homeless from a young age, and it carries into adulthood because it's difficult to deviate from that path because there aren't the right systems for youth to afford places for themselves, you know? And also, with the ongoing rise of homelessness, the average occupancy percentage in shelters is 98%. So it is hard to like find a place in a shelter, and it's not always a solution for everybody. And to add on to that, there are over like 318,115 people on the subsidized housing waiting list. And these significant numbers is why we must see change within our city and our communities. And it's important that we talk about these issues and spread awareness, especially to the people that are in charge and can actually solve these problems, like urban planners and just people that run the city, you know?
So. Yeah, and I think it's especially important since we are a Toronto Regent Park-oriented show that we also recognize that, well, what I'm about to say is the opinion of mine and does not reflect that of Regent Park Focus. This is Diane Muhammad's opinion. But it's also really important when you look at the forced evictions that's been happening recently in Trinity Bellwoods, in Lamport Stadium, and we're hearing whispers of one in our neighbor community, Moss Park, and now is more important than ever before. Not to say that it was never very important, but it's now more important than ever before to become conscious and knowledgeable about the systemic failure that is the existence of homelessness.
Yeah, so that's just a little bit of an introduction and mm-hmm. some stats and a brief surface-level intro.
Right.
And we're going to go on a quick music break, and afterward we're going to play a interview that we have with very special guests. So here's our music break with Mustafa, What About Heaven?
My breath, I'm drenching my sweat, warm but I'm cold, so I'm wearing my vest, running, don't know where to yet. I see you in the ground, in the sky, in my thoughts, in my chest, and my face is wet, my clothes are wet. I'm sinking, I'm sinking, I'm sinking. I'm chasing your scent, I'm chasing your scent. We forgot to talk about heaven and leave it, and what it would mean and how I would grieve. What about heaven? What about heaven? All the pretty girls, the hair, the fashion, the words that we say if we walk past them, our lives and our art and how we would craft them. Complaining for hours and hours and hours of lovers and friends that never even mattered. None of it even mattered. We forgot to talk about heaven. Nothing sacred. What about all of the questions? What about heaven? What about heaven? We forgot to talk about heaven and leave it, and what it would mean and how I would grieve. What about heaven? What about heaven? What about heaven? What about heaven? What about your blessing?
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are live on Radio Regent. This is Forget About It. And we are excited to bring you a very special interview. We have a very special guest. She is a former journalist, and now she is the representative to the Member of Parliament for the Liberal Party representing Toronto Centre. Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest is MP Marcy Yen. Marcy, can you hear us?
Oh, my goodness. All of you, good morning.
Yeah, it's all good of morning. Us. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
We're doing good.
Doing good.
Yeah.
I'm glad we were able to do this. There's so much happening, you guys. So I'm glad that we're able to get this in.
Yeah, for sure.
And thanks for being so amenable.
No, of course.
So, as you know, we're doing this interview for Radio Regent, and today our topic is homelessness. And so we wanted to reach out and contact you because, like, you work with the government, and we could ask you a lot of great questions and great solutions. So, we have a few questions for you today. Just firstly, do you want to talk about who you are and what you do?
Sure. My name is Marcy Yen, and I'm the member of Toronto Centre, and of course Regent Park is a big part of Toronto Centre. I have been the MP for 9 months, becoming the MP for Toronto Centre when I won a by-election last fall. And it has been an amazing experience so far, but challenging too, because this was all during COVID.
Right.
So yeah. It's been really interesting and sometimes very challenging, because I'm somebody that likes to connect with people, and all of that connection until now has happened virtually.
Yeah,
so a lot of Zoom meetings. Really nice to be able to get back out and see people and talk to them and listen to them. And before that, I should say, before that, I was a journalist for, oh my goodness, almost 30 years. Most of my time was at CTV National News.
Oh, just wondering, how'd you like segue into that job?
I'm sorry?
How'd you like make your way into that position? I'm just wondering.
From at CTV?
Yeah.
Initially, we're going way back. but I went to Ryerson. So Ryerson is my alma mater, and I did radio and television there. And I was a news writer first. I worked as a news writer for Channel 11 in Hamilton. I just took, you know, whatever job I could get, whether it was inside Toronto or not. So I drove to Hamilton every day for almost 6 years. And I started as a writer in my last year of school, my last year of Ryerson. And then when I graduated, I took on full-time hours as a writer. And it was the kind of shop that if somebody called in sick, all of a sudden, you were doing a job. So if somebody called in sick one day, and they said, Marcy, we've got a fire in downtown Hamilton. Do you want, we're going to send you out with a camera. And I reported. And that started kind of a a hybrid writing and reporting job. By the time I left Channel 11 in 1997, I was the Queen's Park reporter.
Oh.
And in 1997, I got hired at CTV National News when News Channel started, because it was probably the last huge hiring in our country. News Channel was 24 hours and is 24 hours, mm-hmm. and we basically needed reporters, editors, and producers from across the country, so it was a massive hiring. I was part of that hiring. Lisa LaFlamme, who's the chief news anchor, was part of that hiring. A lot of us were hired in 1997. And I started as a reporter in Atlantic Canada. So I covered all of the Atlantic provinces and then came back to Toronto in 99. And I was reporting for the national news and I was anchoring a show on News Channel on Saturday and Sundays. Mm. And then in 2001, I became the news anchor for Canada AM, which was the number one morning show in the country for years.
Right.
Sometime after that, I became the co-host of Canada AM and did that for many years. And then Canada AM ended in 2016, and I became a co-host of The Social and was on The Social until the by-election. And I resigned my position at The Social in order to serve Toronto Centre. So that, in a nutshell, is the story, with a lot in between, but I gave you the nuts and bolts.
So what led into your decision to switching into politics?
On The Social, it was a really different venue for me. As a reporter, it's important to be neutral. You guys know that. You ask the questions. You don't insert yourself into the story. Mm-hmm. And so I was neutral most of my career. And then on The Social, it really was about my perspective, my opinions. That's what the show called for. So, you know, four women, sometimes five women, talking about life, things that have impacted them, things that they wanted to change. Mm-hmm. And during my time, I talked a lot about being a black woman in Canada, being a mother, being a black mother, and my experiences. I talked about racism. I talked about systems. I talked about the fact that in a 30-year journalistic career, I never had a black boss or a boss of color, period. Mm-hmm. And how, as media, we really have a lot of power. We tell the stories that the nation listens to. We come up with the narratives. And if we don't have diversity, if we don't have inclusivity in our newsrooms, then there are only certain narratives that are being told. And so I was an only, you know, for most of my career. I was the first black woman, black person in the country to co-host a national morning show. And when you walk through doors like that, as a first, you don't walk through alone, because I've always felt that I'm bringing a community with me. Mm-hmm. And so all of this to say that when George Floyd was killed, and I want to put that into perspective, because there was Ahmaud Arbery, mm-hmm. there was Christian Cooper, there, you know, we had our own cases, of course, in Canada. I was speaking about my reality. I was born in St. Jamestown. I grew up in Scarborough. And so I saw a lot, and I experienced a lot. And what I found was the social media, the reaction to what I was saying was really interesting. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of vitriol, a lot of hatred came my way, but that's how I knew that I had hit a nerve and I needed to keep talking. But I was also thinking about how I was using my microphone and whether I was using it well enough. And when the opening in Toronto Centre happened, I had to really think about it, because it really would, you know, it's changing the lives of my kids. I've got two kids and my life. But I really felt that I could serve in a different way. And I really felt that I was bringing it was needed in the halls of power. Mm-hmm. And so really it was Black Lives Matter. It was George Floyd. It was all that was happening that precipitated all of this. And I thought, I'm going to try. And if the people of Toronto Centre think that I'm their person, then what an honor. And here I am. Mm-hmm. So and it's funny, because it's the thing that people always ask. They're like, wait a minute, you left a show that was number one in the country. You left a position, right? You left like the largest private net broadcaster in the country where it was comfortable at a time when you probably should have been thinking about, you know, retirement. I'm 52 next week. Mm-hmm. Early retirement is 55. And you left to do what now? So a lot of people, especially, you know, in the community and talking to people and at doors and everything, they're like, okay, so why did you, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
But really, you guys, the bottom line is service. And there's a lot of work to be done, a ton of work to be done. And I'm here. I'm here to try and do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
I think that's great. You advocated for yourself, your community. That warmed my heart. Right there.
I understand the surprise of people, too, because I'm 19. And
people are like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
It's one thing if you don't have a job or you're not doing it. It's another thing when you're probably at the top of your game.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk away, right? But for me, it wasn't walking away. It was walking towards something and walking towards something in which I could make a difference. Well, my parents emigrated from Trinidad in the 60s. St. Jamestown is a community that welcomed them and welcomed my family. And so, you know, for me, it's about service, but service to a community that was there for us. So it's really, it's full circle, but I take such pride, you know, in being able to do that. Not a lot of people get that chance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. We can kind of go into our next topic. Mm-hmm. Those are some great answers.
Sure.
For our topic on homelessness, our first question is, do you think it is realistic to imagine Toronto with more or less no homelessness?
I mean, what are we working for if that isn't the goal,
mm-hmm.
right? And that doesn't mean that it's not tough. That doesn't mean that the task isn't monumental. But why are we working, right? If we don't believe that that's possible, then what are we doing, right? Like, what are we doing? Then we're just going in circles. So yes, I have to absolutely believe that. And when I got into this, you know, the first calls that we made were two colleagues in municipal government and in provincial government, because this is about working together. Mm-hmm. This is about all three levels of government coming together, because that's what it's going to take. That is absolutely what it's going to take. Mm-hmm. And the other part of this, right, and it's something I think that gets lost. I remember not too long ago speaking to Mark Aston, and he's the new executive at Covenant House. He just started in late 2019, and he said something very interesting that I have not forgotten. And he said, "Marcy, homeless youth, homeless young people, become homeless adults." So really, we've got to start with young people, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Why are young people homeless? What opportunities aren't they getting? People don't just become homeless just like that. They're not all of a sudden 50 years old and homeless. Mm-hmm. They were 15. And the statistics show that if you're homeless and you're homeless as a young person, that trend is going to continue into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't about jumping on a train later. It's about stemming the problem mm-hmm. earlier.
So what do you think are some of the root causes of homelessness, in youth specifically?
I know that, and this is, and I'm dealing with experience here,
mm-hmm.
that the basic human rights are food, shelter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're young and you don't have those things, you're going to try to acquire those things.
Right.
So we have young people right now who are lost, and maybe, you know, they're getting into trouble, they're trying to acquire what they feel they need or their family needs the wrong way, right? So I am a huge proponent of mentorship,
mm-hmm.
of really reaching kids when they're younger, and it's something I've always tried to do, to show them what a successful journey looks like, what it looks like to work hard at something, what it looks like to acquire education, what it looks like to follow the right people, what it looks like to lead and not follow, all of those things. I talk to a lot of young people in Regent during the by-election, and I was really touched by the fact that while some of them, you know, have become successful, whether they're teachers or entrepreneurs or artists, but to a person, they said that they give of their time, that whether they're living in the community still or not, they come back and they teach their craft. So if they're photographers, on Saturday morning, they take a group of kids and they teach them photography. Mm-hmm. If it's a teacher, he may offer or she may offer mentoring. That's how we stem it, right? Because if people feel that they can be successful and they do the right things, that stems the tide and that leads to success. You know, say, oh, it's a quite a leap, but it's not. It's not. Because you end up homeless when you don't have the right support. So putting the right supports in place early is what's important.
Mm-hmm. Facts. It's hard to deviate from your path when you're younger, when you don't have, like you said, the supports or even the mindset too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you're surrounded by people, listen, right, who say, I can get you this much money in 20 minutes, right, if you just do this.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I can get you this much, right, in 20 minutes, half an hour. You don't need school.
Exactly.
You know, you don't need that. I mean, that's what we don't need. But we live in a society where people want a quick fix, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want an easy way. Staying the course and education and working hard, they're not easy things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I came up the hard way. I, you know, had great parents who worked really hard to give my sister and I more than they had. But it's not that it wasn't fraught with challenges. It's not like I didn't have friends who weren't going about things the right way and whose lives seemed a lot easier than mine, who
mm-hmm.
seemed to have more money than I did coming up. But it was about staying focused, right, and having people that supported me along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think if we support our young people better, then it stems the tide of a lot of things, including homelessness.
You talk about supporting young people, so that really makes me want to ask, what is your opinion on universal post-secondary university?
I think, you know what, I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
I do. I think it's a good idea. I graduated university,
mm-hmm.
and I had student loans,
mm-hmm.
and I had to work and pay them off. I worked 2-3 jobs to pay off my loans,
mm-hmm.
you know. It would be great if young people weren't burdened.
Right.
And could go to school and could get the, and we know too that if we're building back better, if we're building a brighter future, we need young minds.
Mm-hmm.
And we need young minds that, you know, are free of financial burdens, who can contribute to society.
Mm-hmm.
And really it's about opportunity for all. Right? And we know that this is not a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
It is not.
No.
But education is the great equalizer. So if we make it simpler, if we make it a little bit easier, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to access to opportunity. Like, if you look at
it's
an organization,
access,
like,
right?
Yeah.
It's access.
Yep.
How many times have we heard stories? I know I've heard them, right? Where people have had an opportunity to go to a great school. Right, but maybe it's a partial scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Go to an amazing school and have had to turn it down because they couldn't afford it.
Yeah, or they have kids. Or
right, or had, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times have we heard stories like that?
Yeah.
Where brilliant, brilliant minds just didn't have the access. Like, are we saying that you have to be born wealthy? Are we saying that you have to be born, you know, with a silver spoon or
mm-hmm.
born with, in order to be educated?
Mm-hmm. It feels like that sometimes.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, but that should never be the case.
Yeah. And I also wanted to ask you earlier when you were talking about human rights and you said shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So do you believe that housing is a human right?
It's a basic need. I think it's more than a human right. It's literally a basic necessity, right? It's food, shelter, clothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need as humans to survive.
Right.
So it's more than just a human right. It's the basics.
Okay. Yeah.
It is ground zero.
I'm with you there.
And So for our last question, because I know we got to wrap up soon.
I so appreciate, and these are great questions, by the way. Thank you for doing research. Thank you for doing all the things. I really appreciate that. From one, I will always say journalist, because I always still consider myself that, mm-hmm. to another or others, you're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So
you're welcome.
For our next question, it's what is your party doing to eradicate homelessness in Canada?
A lot. You know, really, our government has been doing everything in its power. And again, it comes down to collaboration, because we can say, here are billions of dollars, provinces, but it's up to the province and the cities to allocate, right? And that's where it can get frustrating. But I'm sure you've heard of the Rapid Housing Initiative. Mm-hmm. The minister responsible for housing is from Regent Park. He grew up in Regent Park. He knows the issues. And that's why this is a huge, huge part of what he does. So we as a government have promised to invest in rapid housing. We had an announcement on Parliament Street just the other day. 24 units are coming. And there are two streams in Budget 2021, right? So there are funds that are allocated specifically to vulnerable populations, but it's cities, right? It's urban centers. Mm-hmm. So Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal. Mm-hmm. So we proposed, the document is 700 plus pages, but I tried to hone in on the housing aspect. It's a lot on the housing aspect, but we proposed to invest, it's $2.5 billion and reallocate $1.3 billion in existing funds. Those are big numbers, right?
Yeah.
In order to help build or repair buildings that are in disrepair, mm-hmm. to support 35,000 housing units. And I know it's slow in coming, but this is our focus. Right, but this is when I say again, it's about following the money. Mm-hmm. If you follow the money that the federal government has given to the province of Ontario, and in turn to the city, the questions are, where does it go? Where does it go? How is it being used? And if it's not being used, why isn't it being used? Mm-hmm. Because we have done our part and continue to do our part. It's a huge, huge part of our mandate to make housing affordable for all Canadians, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that it's significant investments. We know that's what it's going to take. That's what it requires.
Yeah.
And the other part of this is on January 1st of next year, 2022, we are going to introduce, this is the first time this has happened, a national tax on vacant property owned by non-residents. Mm-hmm. So people who aren't here but actually own property are being taxed. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that's being done, but I would say, right, you're a journalist, follow the bucks.
Yeah.
If you see a federal housing announcement, right, mm-hmm. to the province of Ontario, or you see an announcement, for cities, where is that money going? Mm-hmm. If it's then going to the province, what is the province doing? If it's trickled down to the city, what is the city doing? Where is it? And those are the questions to ask. You asked me a great one, but it's following the money, and that's what I'm trying to do as well. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute, we gave the province this much. Where did that end up? Where did it go?
Yeah.
And if it's still sitting in the coffers, why is it still sitting there when people are in tents? Mm-hmm. So those are the questions.
Right.
Exactly.
Those are some great responses. Thank you so much for staying with us over this interview. You've had some great answers. We really appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, anytime. You guys are amazing. Mm-hmm. It was so good to run into you. And
yeah.
Get in touch anytime, okay? Anytime. And anything that you need, even from a journalistic perspective, anything that I can help with, I certainly can do that too, okay? And so if, I don't know, if like whether it's internships or whatever, I still have connections in that world. So if there's any way that I can help, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Awesome. When you said internships, all our faces lit up.
No, but I know, right? Because it's hard. And here's the thing that I didn't say, but I'll leave you with this, is that I really tried to be the thing that I didn't have. And what I didn't have is a lot of mentorship, right? Like, there weren't a lot of people that looked like me that I could say, hey, how did you attain that position? Or what should I be working on? Or can you give me some constructive criticism that can help me with my story? I really, really try to see that for others. Mm-hmm.
It's just great you could do that for us. Okay, we really appreciate it.
Okay, so please.
We know you gotta go. Thank you so much for staying with us.
I'm actually headed that way. There's
really?
A ceremony for Pam McConnell.
We're going to that too.
Aquatic Center at 11:30. That's where I'm headed.
We'll be recording that event too, so we get to see you twice.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. So I'll see you. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks again
for
everything. Yeah. Really appreciate you. And again, really appreciate your hard work and the questions. Keep it up, you guys.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Bye. That'll wrap up this week's episode of Forget About It on Radio Regent. Stay tuned next time since we're going to be talking about Black Lives Matter and the issues surrounding that. Here is Bob Marley, One Love.